So this is going to be one solid bleep.
Oh, was I late with that? Sorry. You'll have to go back and edit some censor bleeps in there. I had my finger on the bleep button. But yeah.
Thanks for staying on top of things.
Brian. You're welcome.
You need a fully automatic bleep button for that.
Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 20. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig again. Still hasn't changed. For 20 episodes, I've been Craig. And I'll probably be Craig for at least 20 more.
Weather permitting.
I don't know. Craig has to stay inside today due to high humidity. If he goes outside, he'll...
So we can't record from March through October? Or we have to move north?
Something like that. Okay. Maybe I'll Skype in.
How's it going, Craig?
Fine. We have a guest. Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's great to be back again.
Well, it's great to have you back again. It's the again-isode.
Again, okay. So here you are. Do you guys know what day it is today?
Sunday.
Specifically?
August 4th.
Do you know what day that is?
Somebody's birthday?
It's International Friendship Day.
Oh, wow.
Seriously.
Fuck you.
Whoa! Jeez. Well, then I'm not going to do one of these 20 inspired...
There's your friendship for ya.
Well, now that you've said that, I'm not going to do one of these 20 inspiring deeds that I can do to show you how much of a friend you are.
No, I'm sorry. I take it back.
Okay. Now that gifts are on the line.
I wouldn't take it back. I'd still do it.
You'd still fuck him?
Whoa. Hey.
Oh, I'm just creating more work for myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, no.
Just to get that.
And there was
the
no intent.
Okay.
So there's no still.
So
just, and there's no again. I promise. There will be no again.
But it's the again-isode.
Precisely. Craig stupefied.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear any of this conversation.
Craig wants to know what the hell's in the coffee.
So, if you want to show your friend that you're a friend, and for those listeners now...
this is not how to show a friend they're a friend, by mocking them on a podcast.
When you're listening to this, a few days after International Friendship Day, think back to Sunday and think about what your supposed friends did for you on that day. And if they didn't do one of these things, then...
We're not friends?
F them. You can do without them. I'm going to skip through some of them because some of them are stupid. Be spontaneous. Like if a friend suddenly wants to do something, you say, okay, I'm in. You know, okay.
Or if a friend suddenly tells you to F off.
Yeah. For the record.
Hey,
you two guys. For the record, you two guys, don't ever come after me with something spontaneous.
Yeah, but
you know. See, I want plans.
We actually planned the whole diatribe that we just gave you.
Oh,
that was
that's
not spontaneous.
Sweet.
So just to know how much of friends we are to you,
oh,
we planned those insults.
That's nice. Right.
Yeah.
You could also let your friend in.
You did let me in earlier.
No. Like really let him in. Tell him all your deepest, darkest secrets. And
I have nomophobia. I have nomophobia.
Nomophobia?
Nomophobia.
Nomophobia.
Yes. It is a fear of not having a cell phone.
Does that go along with being a FOMO?
FOMO or a mofo?
No, I'm just saying that. I'm letting you guys in. I'm sorry.
Or according to the website here, you could also time travel back to 1994 or so and make a music CD.
Ooh.
For your friend, because
I thought time travel had the whole multi paradox time linear.
God knows that you can't just get all of your favorite songs. Like Mike, you can't get all of your favorite songs all together in one place, different artists, different albums.
So that you
can listen to them all together. No, you got to make a CD.
Right.
Like in 1994.
Right, and then you have to go buy a Discman. Yeah. I almost called
but
it a Walkman.
But it's the effort. It's not the actual collecting of songs that you have.
It's the thought that counts.
Precisely. Living, I'm thinking bad thoughts of you right now.
Living.msn.com.
I thought
nice suggestion.
Really hard about how to put these songs you don't like in a specific
precisely.
Order. So that when you didn't listen to them, you would enjoy, you would not enjoy them in a certain way.
Hey, Mike, I'm thinking of you right now. Here, and they're good thoughts.
Matthew? Oh,
yes, thanks. Sir.
Here's one on the list. Offer to babysit.
Oh.
Never going to happen.
I will. You won't. You don't want me to babysit for you?
No, and you don't want me to babysit for you.
Dude, you haven't met my kids.
You've worked very hard at raising children and doing a good job of it, and well, I will undo at least a year's worth of your work in one afternoon.
Well, I got some things to let you in about later about my child-rearing skills that will...
Oh, and ask for advice and invite your friend along to things and pay attention, which is just something you should do with people in general.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Pay attention.
What was that?
Remember the milestones? We've got a milestone coming up, you and me.
Yeah?
Mike.
I've talked to you about this before. Tell him. December 1st.
Was that
is
the that, day?
Is that the day we met?
That is the day we met 10 years ago.
Wow.
I only know that because it was the day that I started working at a particular firm where Mike was working.
Where they forced you to start working on the first of the month.
Oh, is that how that worked? I just happened to start on that. I didn't realize that was how they did it.
No, they hired me in like the middle of September. I didn't get to start till October 1st.
Here's another one.
Third or whatever the Monday was.
Plan a getaway. They have a picture of two friends camping. Ooh. Not going to happen.
No, never happening.
Mike, so you're aware.
You guys don't like camping?
No. See, humanity has worked very, very, very hard to make indoors awesome. And if I spend too much time outdoors, I am spitting in the face of my ancestors.
And modern progress.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like my ancestors.
Well, they don't like you.
They were mostly German.
Oh, they celebrate your anniversary.
Oh.
So,
but what if your anniversary isn't on the 4th of August?
Well, then...
That's awfully... discriminatory.
Only a specific subset of people that met on August 4th. Then I don't think that's how it works.
Okay.
Meet and immediately get married?
Yeah. So there you go. That's what you can do for being friends.
Cool. So got anything in the news, Mike?
No.
News item, sort of. I'm sure you guys, well, maybe I've heard about this anyway. Booksellers are irate over Obama visiting the Amazon warehouse.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing all the way in South America?
No, this is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, not too far from here.
Oh.
And Obama went in there and said all sorts of nice things about how Amazon is constantly growing, and they're creating jobs, and they're doing all this, you know, to help stimulate the economy and so forth. And the Indie Bookseller League of America, or whatever they're called, what are they called here? American Booksellers Association has called his choice greatly misguided. It added, the news that this weekend that Amazon is slashing prices far below cost on numerous book titles is further evidence that it will stop at nothing to garner market share at the expense of smaller businesses that cannot afford to sell inventory below their cost of acquisition. And then it goes on to saying, you know, that you know the president going there and saying nice things to them is, you know, basically the president giving the big finger
to all the indie,
mom and pop bookstores. Guess what, indie mom and pop bookstores? Evolve or fucking die.
Innovation. The reason that Amazon is able to sell books at below cost is because they have other profit-generating
divisions. That's the thing that kills me, is that it's not really... I mean, yeah, Amazon started as a bookstore.
They're a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the indie bookstore is not going to go away.
No,
I'm a firm believer. I've got a coworker who thinks that someday everything's going to be digital. I think the book is going to remain. It's going to become a niche market. But there's always going to be a subset of people that like to have a physical book in their hand and be able to hold the book and turn the pages.
But they're all going to die eventually.
The people?
Yeah.
Right.
And then the people like us that read off the Kindle will...
No, I don't... Not for ever.
I don't think it'll never go away, but I do think that
right. And indie bookstores and things like this, and these little bookstores will become little niche markets. They'll find other ways to generate income. They'll do other things. There'll be people that will go there for the bookstore experience.
Correct.
To go in there and browse the books and sit down and read one and have some tea or coffee or whatever, and they'll buy their books there, and they'll be loyal to that. But and some of the bookstores will go away, and other ones will evolve and grab that market share.
What do I feel like I'm listening to a editorial of You've Got Mail with Tom Hanks and what's her face?
Something like that. It's editorial. Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan before she turned into...
Speaking of...
Meg Ryan.
Plastic surgery accidents.
Yeah.
That one happened on her face.
But you're right. The indie bookstores need to evolve and grow and change and find different ways to create a reason for going there.
And you know why I believe this? Everything that has ever come before. I don't have to go to the local tinsmith to get my new soup ladle made.
That is correct.
I can go to a store or Amazon or go to a just physical store and buy a soup ladle. There it is, ready to go. A whole bunch of different styles. I can color coordinate with my kitchen. I can do whatever I want. Get it out of the right material. I don't have to go to the blacksmith. No, I get in my effing car. I don't have to go shoe my horses.
Or the Teflon-coated plastic smith.
But it's great. No,
I don't have to wait for some monk to spend 6 months of his life writing out a book in a basement somewhere.
With a quill.
Because he's got nothing better to do with his time because there isn't a printing press and there aren't mass produced this and that. Hey, yeah, booksellers, you want the book thing to be, you know, old school, old timey, none of this innovation. Go back to just writing the book up for other people, copying it, transcribing it word for word. Months at a
but
pop.
It's so much easier to complain about something going poorly than to change yourself and grow.
A-holes.
I agree.
American Booksellers Association. I like books. I read quite a bit. I read all sorts of things. F you. F you.
Wow.
Grow.
There's a
change.
Bitterness becomes, here today.
Well, it just... And then on top of it, it's just one of those examples of like anybody who's got any sort of celebrity or notoriety or is in political power or whatever, any little thing they do, somebody comes crawling out of his ass to bitch at him and then crawls back up in there. He went to a place to say, thanks for stimulating the economy in this crappy economy that we have right now. He's trying to help get people to think, hey, things are going to get better, getting people's heads wrapped around like, hey, maybe we can get this pulled out of the toilet here someday if, you know, the government ever gets a budget. But we're not going to delve into politics. The point is, this little thing, he went to talk to some people on Amazon and they're all... Anytime anybody does something that's just like, you know, Brad Pitt goes to talk to this guy and this guy's neighbor is all pissed off about it, you know, or just, oh.
Well, people read into things what they want to help substantiate their beliefs. At the same trip when he went to Chattanooga, there was a restaurant that he was going to eat lunch that would not open their doors for him. And so there were people on the far right that were, you know, applauding this person for not catering to him. Now, I'm no Obama apologist. But at the same time, this store has been closed on Tuesdays since 1969. They're closed on Tuesdays.
And that was the day that he was there?
That's the day he was there. And they said, no, I'm sorry, we're closed on Tuesdays.
Yeah, screw you. Our hours are online. Look them up.
Yeah.
Plan your trip.
So
you got a whole staff.
Why, you know, but you're right. But they make a big deal about that.
Yeah, and somebody pitches a fit over
it. You know, and then the left is saying that, well, he's thumbing his nose at the leader of the free world, and the right is saying, good job. But the point is, there's a little old lady going, but I'm closed on Tuesdays. I knit on Tuesdays. So
I go in for dialysis on Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Why do people get so hung up on stupid things?
I get my Walker tennis balls trimmed.
Something, yeah. Just
I get the fuzz buzzed off.
Now, I do like the Amazon.
I think F you is going to become a recurring segment for me because I'm getting more and more bitchy about stuff in the world.
I found my news.
Oh, okay.
You reminded me by skirting the edges of politics.
Okay, so are we delving into politics? Okay,
not really.
There we go.
We're delving into making
American
fun
Booksellers of Association. Get your act together and grow. Become something different.
If I make fun of Anthony Weiner, is that politics?
Just because he happens to be
a politician?
No. Okay, good. It's because his name is Anthony Weiner, if nothing else.
I had an orthopedic surgeon named Dr. Weiner.
Ooh.
Not a urologist, because that would be awesome.
I know. I broke a lot of bones. I helped buy him a boat. It was nice. Called the Little Wiener.
It wasn't called Matthew.
If it were Matthew's Wiener, it would have been a much bigger boat.
0-1-5-9-3.
A much bigger boat.
Hey, yo.
So essentially what I've learned already today is that my children cannot listen to this episode.
No. Not after what I'm about to read.
Nor my mother.
That was the other thing that reminded me of this. Okay. Was the fact that I've already created work for myself.
All right, let's rock it.
Okay, so everybody knows who Anthony Weiner is and what he does. Apparently, he's having a problem keeping his interns around. Nobody wants to work for his campaign anymore. Well, also, they don't want to be sexually abused. Potentially.
There is that, too.
Well, that's okay. The longer he, the more interns he loses, the smaller his campaign staff becomes, the longer he can just float on that money.
Yeah.
Because he won't be paying it out to people that are working for him.
So
because he's, you know, he's a New Yorker and he don't roll that way. He's not going to quit.
No.
Douchebag. Go ahead.
So one of these interns, and Olivia Nuzzi, that is N-U-Z-Z-I, I'm going with the Italian pronunciation, Nuzzi, possibly Nuzzi, I don't know. She writes for something called NSFW Corp, which I assume stands for Not Safe for Work, a little blog.
Sure.
She says, I had been interning on Anthony Weiner's current mayoral campaign for 3 weeks when he decided to introduce himself. Come on, everybody, all interns, Anthony wants to say hello. We crowded into Weiner's private office in his new Fifth Avenue campaign headquarters, speaking of money, yeah. Spending, expensive, where he stayed reclined in a cheap black leather chair. Okay, saving money on furniture. Now, this is my Anthony Weiner voice, because I assume he's just a colossal douchebag. I always say that on every campaign, there are one or two volunteers who really make a difference, he began. There were roughly 20 of us in the room. So I just want to let you know that no task is too small, and the work you're doing is important, and it is appreciated. He continued to speak for a few minutes, reiterating this point over and over. Okay, Weiner said loudly, though not enthusiastically. Oops. Okay. I'm going to go around the room now and ask you your name and fact about yourself. And then I'm going to go back around and repeat your name to you. A member of the campaign staff looked on, nervously. I'm great at this, Weiner said. I stood second in line next to Stephanie. I speak three languages. I love romance languages. Technically, that's two facts, Stephanie. Weiner nodded at me to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Olivia. You were at the gay pride event with us in Brooklyn, right? Yeah. Thanks for helping out. Really appreciate it. Next. Okay, Weiner had heard from us all. Now I'm going to repeat your names back to you. I'm really good at this, he confirmed. He paused and squinted his eyes at Stephanie. Monica? Stephanie. We all laughed nervously. Monica is an interesting intern name to pick out of the air. Wiener's wife, we should remember, works for Hillary Clinton.
Was she wearing a blue dress? No? Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. From the Gap, yeah.
Smoking a cigar.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, next. He paused again and squinted his eyes at me. Monica. More nervous laughter. Olivia. After getting the following three interns' names wrong, he gave up and released us back into the main office. A little while later, I walked down the hallway and bumped into Weiner. Monica? Still Olivia.
Ugh.
Now, Anthony Weiner's communications director has responded to this little article.
Okay. I'll cue up the rim shot.
Anthony Weiner's communications director went on one of the most unhinged tirades in recent political history against a former intern for the Weiner campaign, who wrote a revealing piece for the New York Daily News, which we just read. Barbara Morgan, who was the comm director, responded to Talking Points Memo's request for comment by going completely off the rails and into the gutter, dropping almost literally every single profanity possible in this situation. No, I can think of a few more.
There's definitely more they haven't used. We actually came up with a couple at poker last Thursday that were...
Yeah.
So I mean,
a bunch of guys sitting around playing poker, drinking beer, came up with some creative profanity. You're saying,
yeah.
Oh, news story.
Actually, we had a game where you had to match the pot if you used a curse word during the game. That was a big pot. Anyway, continue, okay. Mike. Sorry.
And here's the quote. Fucking slutbag. Nice fucking glamour shot on the cover of the Daily News. Man, see if you ever get a job in this town again, said Morgan. According to Morgan, Nuzzi stopped interning for the campaign like 4 weeks ago. Nuzzi's story on NSFW Corp described her as having spent 4 weeks as a Weiner intern. I think it said 3 weeks. Anyway, when asked whether the claims in Nuzzi's stories were true, Morgan suggested many of them were, quote, bullshit. She sucked. She, like, wasn't good at setting up events. She was clearly there because she wanted to be seen. Like, it was, like, terrible. And I had to, like, she would just not show up for work, said Morgan. For the 4 weeks she worked there, she didn't work weekends, so 20 days total. Of those 20 days, she missed probably five because she would just, like, not show up and not tell me she wasn't going to be there. So, yeah, so there's that. And then, like, she had the fucking balls to, like, trash me in the paper and be like, his communications director was the last press secretary of the Department of Education in New Jersey, Morgan said. You know what? Fuck you, you little cunt. I'm not joking. I'm going to sue her.
So this is going to be one solid bleep.
Oh, was I late with that? Sorry. You'll have to go back and edit some censor bleeps in there. I had my finger on the bleep button. But yeah.
Thanks for staying on top of things,
Greg. You're welcome.
You need a fully automatic bleep button for that.
Yeah. I think if you bleeped the number of times she said like, it would be probably about three times the number
yeah.
obscenities. And right. Personally, my opinion is that that's worse.
Bleeping like?
No, the fact that she kept saying that she verbally like, paused like with the word like.
The communications director?
Yeah.
Couldn't.
Thank you for picking up on
it. Couldn't form a sentence a like without sentence, saying like you know? Over and over.
Like.
Also, I'd like to point out that Mr. Wiener.
Like
you never, ever, ever tell somebody you're really, really good at something and then try to prove it.
Correct.
Because this is 2013 and there's the internet. And people have cell phones. Yeah.
Ta-da!
I'm really good at that. We'll let you know if you're really good at that.
They have cell phones, they have cameras, they have recording devices, they have blogs and jobs at places that have blogs that put things on the internet.
Good job.
Yeah. Well done, Monica.
Poor Wiener. Things I didn't think I would say when I got up this morning. Poor Wiener.
I would have bet you would have said that.
All right.
What is that part of the whole Friendship Day thing?
What
Wiener stuff? No. Not in this friendship.
I mean,
it is. Unless we go back to the dick slapping from one of those previous episodes.
It is Friendship Day, and I just want to make sure that I'm... you know what? I have been a good friend today.
That's right, man. You brought brownies.
I brought tribute to the Nerd Burger.
Now, those are just regular brownies, right?
Because if they're not, we should have eaten them 20 minutes ago.
No, we should eat them a half hour from now.
They're double fudge brownies.
Take a look
brownies.
At your clock. It's half hour from now.
Hey, 4:20.
Nice.
High five.
What do you guys mean?
4:20?
I mean, of course, I mean...
Well, if they were pot brownies...
Are you saying do they have nuts in them?
Oh, jeez. Okay, can we get off of male genitalia? Whoa.
Oh, we can.
Matthew, you'd like to talk about something other than that stuff.
Well, no, when you were talking about Mr. Obama being in Chattanooga at Amazon, you know, one of the things about Amazon that makes it a profit deal is the whole Amazon Prime.
Right.
Of course, initially it was branded as being a way to get things shipped to your house and go ahead and commit to buying a bunch of stuff over the course of a year so you can get free shipping.
Well, they were just trying to get you
to make it cost effective.
Well, they wanted to make Amazon your go-to shopping. When correct. You need something and you don't need to necessarily hold it in your hands before you buy it.
And it was a hook because you think, well, I get free shipping if I go ahead and buy it from Amazon as opposed to not Amazon,
yeah,
where you would potentially have to pay shipping. So right. It was just your first place to go to find things. But the whole Amazon Prime with the...
Amazon Instant Video.
Precisely. Is just... It's awesome. Now, full disclosure, I watch the Netflix. And it's been interesting to watch media as it's been delivered over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, really, and how it's changed from the traditional formats and the traditional delivery methods. You know, back in the day, you had, what, 3 channels, and then PBS, and then Scratchy 17 here in Atlanta, right? And it was Braves baseball and Who's the Boss, pretty much all day long. Now, it's just Who's
Mona,
the Boss.
Angela, Samantha.
Right?
Yeah.
That's your Tony Danza.
That's my Tony Danza.
That's a really bad Tony Danza.
So, Netflix.
Netflix. I love the Netflix.
Alternative media delivery.
I'll just go over here.
Yeah, you do that. So think about what you just said.
You know, and before that, it was...
He's over there pouting. Oh, so, okay.
It was really all about... It's really... It's so sad to see Mike pout. I mean, that is a really sad sight. So the Netflix. I'm encumbered to talk about how sad Mike looks right now. It's a little
here,
more
Mike,
so.
Have a brownie.
Yeah, aww. There you go. That'll make him feel
you can even
better.
Pick which one you want.
Wow.
Can I have a plate?
My mom used to make us, one of us cut and the other pick. That was how we had to split something when we were younger.
Yes, we really do have dinnerware in the studio.
No, that was just Foley art. Okay.
We're getting the brownies out of the bag.
Oh, now you broke the brownie. What you go and do that for? So the big piece is for you and the little piece is for Allison. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Craig.
Netflix.
Those are good looking brownies.
And Matthew. Thank you, Matthew. Yes, thank you.
Adair.
Mrs. Matthew.
Yes, Mrs. Actually, it was...
He's talked about his son's name. He's not going to care if we mention his wife's
no,
name.
No, it was female spawn of Matthew that made these this morning.
Oh. No.
Yes. My lovely daughter made these.
Well, thanks for nothing, Adair.
And of course, now knowing that this is my family.
Kidding.
So I go out there to get some brownies to package up to bring you. And three brownies in the middle of the pan are gone.
The middle ones?
The three in the middle.
That's terrible.
It's awesome.
That's terrible. No, that is awesome.
No, that's terrible because the edge brownies are the best ones. Where the edge is a little burned.
Now, who was responsible for that?
The cook.
Awesome.
But I love that about her. You know what? I don't have to start at the corner and work my way across.
She's like, I made these. I'm taking the best ones.
I want the ones I want. Mm-hmm. Now, Craig, I happen to agree with you. I do like the edge ones because I like just a little bit of... A little more hard chewy with a little bit of soft chewy. It's a good edge. Chewy.
That's
mix.
Why you've seen those pans that are like they're like S shaped. They snake back and forth
because it's all so corners.
It's all corner edge, all edges mm-hmm. and corners.
But Anna likes the center piece, and so she made the brownies, and then she just took the three in the middle, and that's awesome because she's awesome.
So Netflix.
Netflix. Well, not necessarily just Netflix, but it's right. about the whole idea of. You know, formerly we had these three channels, and that was it. And we were stuck with those three channels.
And then you had 40 or so when cable kind of got rolling. And then
cable came along, but it was still, you know, programming was still the same. You know, the biggest thing in TV programming was when episode storylines would carry over from one episode to another. I know there was a couple of Magnum PIs.
Or when something would spin off from something else.
Oh, like, don't mention Aftermath. Oh, that was a disaster. But there was, you know, other than that, it was pretty much the same formula for that show or that type of show, and it was pretty boring. And you could only watch them when you could only watch them. You know, I remember growing up, there was two big days in our household, and that was the day The Sting was on and the day The Sound of Music was on. So I'd watch The Sting with my dad, and I would sit through The Sound of Music with my mom because it was near Christmas time, and, you know, at that point, any bonus points I could get were going to help.
Sure.
So programming was really lame because it was just what it was. Now, fortunately, with videos came out, and we could actually get a movie and watch it whenever we wanted to. We could pause it when we wanted to, but the tapes were clunky, and then we went to DVDs and all that sort of funness. And then you could start buying television shows. The idea, you know, buying a television show on a DVD set was great because then you could watch it whenever you wanted, and especially if it was one that had a lot of rewatchability, like... Band of Brothers. Man, that's great. You know, you sit down, you watch one episode of Band of Brothers, and you don't get up until you're done with all of them. I mean, they're still
It's awesome. One of those.
It's awesome. It's like Shawshank Redemption. You know, you always watch it when he goes into jail because that's the first commercial break. You ever notice that?
Right.
You know, you're watching something else, the commercial comes on, you flip, and by the time you get up to that level in the channel...
It's the point where he's arriving at the jail, correct. And Red is talking about all the inmates are placing their bets on who's going to cry first and correct. All that kind of stuff.
And you never watch why he gets there because that's in the first part of the commercial break.
When you're watching the other show.
Right. And then you sit there and watch the rest of the movie. But then we had on-demand. And some of the, you know, the DVRs and some of the on-demand stuff allow you to be able to record stuff. But what really is interesting is how far we've gone away from traditional network programming. For example, my kids. I always like to look at my kids as bellwethers of technology because, one, they're both pretty smart, and they're pretty in tune with things. And watching them, they never watch television. They have not watched a television show, whether it was formatted program on cable or regular television, in as long as I can remember. They'll either sit down and watch something on the Netflix or they watch the YouTubes. And my son has a couple of channels that he watches on YouTube over and over. One is like a Chugga Conroy. And he records these, they're called LPs, Let's Play, where they're playing a video game.
Run-throughs of video games. You're just watching somebody play the video game.
Right. And you're learning tips and tricks, and then he's got several There's somebody in Sweden called Cutie Pie.
Whoa.
Hey, this sounds a little sketchy.
It is. And
not
he,
for
he's
sure
a,
if I'm Sweden.
He's a,
or do you know,
but
or
my
do
dear, you're wearing lederhosen.
But he does Minecraft videos, right? And my son is a big Minecraft nut. And well, so is my daughter, too. But so the idea that media is not necessarily just what we would grown up to think about in terms of being spoon-fed all of these things. Media is free for people to go out and podcast whatever they want and however often they want. The YouTube videos, like I know you guys are watching the... We talked in the last one or two ago about the Epic Rap Battles of History.
Yep.
What a great channel.
Epic Rap Battles of History!
I mean, those are awesome, right? And that's just a new way to deliver media. Because it's free. It's almost indie. Like, you know, the indie bookstores, well, it's indie media now.
Mm-hmm.
You can get up and put together what kind of media you want. And so, there are kids that are making ridiculous amounts of money because they're recording themselves playing a video game and kids are watching it.
And web series, like full-on, like actual actors, like people that you know.
Yes.
Doing stuff.
Control-Alt-Delete. That was a web series with that starred the guy that played Buster in Arrested Development.
Tony Hale?
Yes. And he found out that his Magic Mac keyboard, if he would control...
Mike's going to like this.
Control U would undo a situation. and he could do all of these crazy things from his keyboard.
Now, why was it Control Alt Delete if he had a Mac keyboard?
I think there's some irony in there.
Okay.
And irony is not the opposite of wrinkling.
Wah, wah.
Now, one of my favorite things about the new media is the way Arrested Development season 4 was shot. Okay, I'm a big AD fan, Mike. You finally watched AD?
Went back and the wife and I went back and watched the whole thing from the beginning. First three seasons, the original run, and then we watched this fourth season.
So what was your take on it? What was
I liked what they did, how they...
Well, just about the whole show in general.
Okay, I thought you meant the fourth season.
Well, we're getting there, but being an Arrested Development nerd, I'm cutting. You can tell me how much you like it, or I can punch you in the mouth.
You have options.
I'm trying to remember. I think I like the first season best. I like the third season second best of the original run. Second season least. I don't know why. It's been
when
long
George
now,
was on the lam, yeah. That was, I think, season two. Wasn't that the one where Julia Louis Dreyfus was playing a?
I did
the
like
lawyer.
That.
It was,
I like
that was
Maggie
kind of
Leiser.
Funny. Maggie Leiser. Leiser, but right. They could have come up with a better name than Judith Cute Story. That was
Gareth.
Bad. Gareth. That was just bad. I mean, really? No, when he did make her blind by hitting her with a Bible, that was pretty awesome.
No, I really did like the first run. Wasn't quite so sure about what they were doing with this fourth season.
It's a change.
It's a big change, and I did eventually... It took a few episodes, but I eventually came around, and I did really appreciate it, and by the end of it, I really, really liked it.
That is the general consensus that I have come upon, is everybody has to get about... You have to get about four episodes into the fourth season before it
really
starts to roll.
One thing that annoyed me about it was... In the original run, Michael and George Michael are pretty much decent people.
Yes.
Yep.
In the original run. In the fourth season, not so much. I think George Michael comes out on top.
Michael's lost it.
Michael's completely
lost the
rails.
Yeah. Well, and understandably, when he does that,
I mean, they explain why. Yeah.
When he does it and it fails the way it did, he just loses it. And he's just lost touch with reality. And so,
well, that was always a guiding principle for Michael, is that he was always trying to distance himself from his family. He saw how bad everybody in that family is.
Yes.
how terrible those people are, and
he was trying to run the company the right way.
And he you know, every so often there was always the hook of like him and George Michael, they're just going to leave and we never have to look at these people again. Yeah. He wanted to get away from them because he, you know, I think down deep he knew that, well, he's a Bluth too,
right?
And if
what
he,
have I always if, said is the most important thing?
Family.
Breakfast.
And then they paid it off in the fourth season. The character actually changed.
Yeah.
And more importantly, he didn't grow.
Correct.
He just changed. Yeah. He got worse.
It was as if keeping the family together is what kept him on the rails to being a good person and growing along with it. And once he did not have...
Once he gave up on them, yeah.
The gravity of everybody pulling him apart in all these awful directions, then he
fell apart on his own.
He did. And so because he needed them just as much as they needed.
Oh my goodness, him. A sitcom with real human characters that have real foibles. And
now, the thing I really enjoyed, especially about season 1 through 3, and then season 4 just went off the chart with this, was just the number of times that it referenced itself. The details and the props in the background of something in season 1 became relevant in season 3. You know, I mean, the easiest, obvious one is the hand chair of Buster's. And how many times they referenced him losing his hand before he did. I mean, how did they know that?
Mm-hmm. Well, just they had it planned.
The writing was amazing. I mean, it won a number of Emmys. I think season 1, it was nominated for 7 and it took home 5. Season 2, it was nominated for 11 and took home 1. So,
critically acclaimed, but didn't have an audience.
And then season 3, I think it was up for another 5 or 6 Emmys, something like that, and it took home 2 or 3. And then now they're up for 3 more Emmys.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is great to see the Netflix, because they got 9 Emmy nominations for House of Cards, which is just an evil, evil show that I couldn't stop watching. but especially with season 4 of Arrested Development, the idea is that, and I heard it explained really well by Michael Hurwitz,
yep,
that it's not 15, 30-minute episodes. It's 1 8-hour movie.
Yeah.
Well, it just spirals all around and comes back and comes back and comes back. And just the level of thought and detail. I mean, what, did they shoot it all at once?
Well,
it's just ridiculously... I mean, once you get to the end, it's crazy how...
It's not the end.
No.
It's just another... You saw the end almost in the first episode.
You did.
Because you carried it all the way through. Now, apparently part of it was due to scheduling conflict. Another part was due to the fact that Netflix said, you guys just do something different.
Right.
And so now, because of the way that they
Hurwitz had the balls to say,
let's do something really different.
I'm going to do something. We're going to take advantage of the format.
Absolutely.
We're not beholden to a certain time frame. And we don't have, we don't have to worry about act breaking it the way you normally do for a TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, we can let everything just roll and roll and roll and roll, and it can be 25 minutes or it can be 35 minutes or whatever.
Although they did still insert the fade to white commercial breaks
right,
the fade in between.
Well, and they also didn't have to worry about episodes being released in a certain order. Because Netflix,
you don't have to watch those.
The Netflix
in that
just
order.
drops a show on you in a bucket, as opposed to just a drop at a time.
But you don't even need to watch those in any particular order.
No, they.
I mean, you could watch the first one first and the 15th one last, and you can just mix up the middle ones.
Now,
and
it would
just be a different viewing experience.
Now, I do know that most people did watch it just in order because we're programmed that way.
Right.
And
well, here's the thing. I think that it was probably designed to be watched in that order. That correct. there are certain buildups from, like, you learn a little bit about this and a little bit more and a little bit more, and then bam, you learn
right.
There's the big reveal about it, and you have to watch it in that order to get that. If you watch that bam episode first, then the little buildups don't have quite the same effect.
Right, because if you knew that face block was simply a wooden
spoiler,
block
spoiler,
metronome,
spoiler, spoilers, spoilers.
If you knew that in the first episode, then yeah, it would be a little
right.
But knowing that it's simply just a wood block metronome, when maybe is building the whole company, makes it even that much more awesome.
Yeah.
Because she's the only member of that family that can be successful, apparently.
Yes, she is. But Craig's right. It took about 4 to 5 episodes to get up to it, and it was the Tobias episode that finally made me a believer of the whole system. And I don't know if it was on purpose that they made that one or not, but it's fun to watch how media is changing and evolving over time, much unlike the indie booksellers who are simply complaining and bitching that people aren't buying horseshoes anymore.
Yeah. So beyond Netflix, there's all sorts of other things going on that are revolutionizing the way media is brought to you. There's the Kickstarter.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Which you're seeing all sorts of, little indie projects, little people, people are putting together things to try to get their little TV series or web series or an indie movie or something made. And
I've backed a couple.
There's far too many, you know, to name, to mention. They're all over the place.
Now, I have heard there's been a little bit of backlash on some of the Kickstarter stuff where you have A class Hollywoodites.
That's where I'm going. You jump in the route. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
The first big one that jumped out was the Veronica Mars Kickstarter.
You've mentioned this to me before.
Yes, Veronica Mars television series lasted for 3 seasons on, I don't remember, was it WB maybe?
Or CW or one of those.
Well, I think it was pre the...
CW?
It was pre that. It was when, yeah,
before
it was,
she became a big shot.
The A&W?
Root Beard got that frosty mug taste. And that went up and it hit its goal like inside of a day and ended up being like, I don't know, it was a $2 million goal or something like that. And they ended up making $5 million and change or something. I mean, they made a ton of money. And you'll have all these little extras and things added in there and all sorts of things that, you know, the people who, like if you paid the most, there was like one slot was the big one that you would actually... you'd have a speaking role. Basically, you're going to get the waiter role.
Yeah.
You have one line to deliver. You have to do it well. They had all the stipulations written in, like, we could cut you if you're Jag.
Yeah. You walk up to the you know, one of the secondary characters with a tray full of
right
whores
nerves. No, with her. You will wait on Veronica Mars' table.
Wow.
I believe that's what it was stated in there. But anyway, $2 million, they made $5,700,000. And everybody was like, oh, that's awesome. And it was... The argument was that they can potentially get more money to make this, and they did this, you know, in part to fund it, but also to generate interest amongst potential backers and say, hey, look, there's a demand for this movie. There are people that want to see this made. So I don't know exactly where all of that budget and everything stands, but that kicked off and it was a big success, big deal. Then there was Zach Braff's Kickstarter, which succeeded. But which he caught a crap ton of backlash for. Because Zach Braff is a multimillionaire, not to say that Kristen Bell isn't, and that Rob Thomas, the creator of Veronica Mars, isn't. But then there was all of a sudden this, you know, well, why are these A-list movie stars who have millions of dollars not just funding their little passion projects themselves? Mm-hmm. And that holds some validity, I suppose, but at the same time, if somebody's worth $20 million, it doesn't mean they have $10 million they can sink into a movie.
Right.
Lot of that is probably tied up in assets.
What did Zach Braff do?
He kickstarted a little indie movie project that he wanted to do, that he wants to write and direct, I think, and he'll probably star in it as well. And it was successful, but he caught a lot. I mean, just like everybody started coming out of the woodwork about, why is he doing this, da, 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 da. And it's just like, well, he's kind of, you know, first of all, why can't he?
Right.
If there's people that are willing to pay for it, it's the free market system. He's got a product. There's a bunch of people over here that are willing to pay for it. They're willing to gamble up front and put their money on the line that this product's going to get made. It's all it really is a pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
You're pre-ordering the movie plus some swag plus, you know, whatever else you want to pay for the higher backer levels.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? And people are, you know, well, it's unethical.
No.
That was the argument that a lot of people were making, because nobody crawled out of the woodwork all over Veronica Mars, but everybody went ape crap over Zach Braff.
Okay, because I'm sitting here waiting for you to tell me what douchebag thing Zach Braff did that made everybody crawl out of the woodwork, and you're saying it's not.
Well, here's the thing.
It's just the fact that...
You want to know what the douchebag thing...
Hey, I want to have a Kickstarter, too.
You want to know
what... Big Shot Hollywood guy.
You want to know what the...
No, only one Big Shot Hollywood person can have a Kickstarter.
The douchebag thing that Zach Braff did is he was on a really hip and trendy show and has garnered a following of people who realize that he is a really funny and genuine person, and the fact that he plays quote unquote best friends with what's the actor's name, the guy who played Turk on Scrubs, Donald Faison, and that they are in fact best friends in real life, and they are very much like their characters were on the show, and how genuine of a person he is, and that he's done, you know, all these, he's an incredibly cool guy, he's one of these guys that's got a, you know, Twitter following that everybody loves him, and he's just that kind of a guy.
Is he dating what's her face, the Roseanne sister stand-in no, in real life?
No. So that's what he did in order to earn all of that hate, was be a cool person and want to make a movie and see if people wanted to pay for it. That's what he did.
Well, he was
New York Times.
He was getting sucked into the whole wealth.
At the New York Times wrote a big column over it about
it. It's the wealth envy where people are much better at spending rich people's money than the rich people are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, he's got too much. Well, why doesn't he just pay for it himself? He knows people that have money. Why don't they just do it? Why do they have to suck the money off the backs of the working class kind of thing?
Right. Now, back in the day...
Even though the working class are ponying up the money of their own free will...
They're choosing to do it. In exchange for a product. As opposed to money being confiscated by the point of a gun to then be dumped into something that we don't want or don't need.
And back in the day, a few years back, remember there was a writer's strike?
Mm-hmm.
And when all the writers and actors were out of work, one particular writer, Joss Whedon, got some people together... And he put his own money into it, and they made a little 45-minute web show called Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog. And he put it on the internet for free. And nobody had a fit about that. But then he also put it on the put it in places where you can buy it. You can get it on DVD, and you can pay for it. And it's on Netflix, and you're paying for it on Netflix.
You can buy a physical copy of it if you'd like.
Yes. Yeah. But nobody gave him crap over that. He tried to make some bucks off of his creativity. He's a writer.
That's what you're supposed
to
do.
He writes entertainment. Mm-hmm. He makes money. He makes a living off of that. Nobody had a fit over that. Well, he put it on the internet for free first. Yeah, but then why didn't he just leave it on the internet for free?
But that was before the Avengers, and he was such a huge big shot. Now that he's a gazillionaire from the Avengers, he can't do that anymore.
True. Well, he doesn't have the time to do it anymore, but he still plans to go back and do a sequel. And I imagine it'll be...
But he can't make any money off.
No, but he can't make any money because he's the director of the Avengers movies now, and he's a multimillionaire.
That's right.
Guess what? He was a multimillionaire long before he made Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog. Somebody wants to get some people to pay for their thing?
Well, to quote
they got
the
some
great,
creativity. You know they want to make a thing?
We should kickstart for this. Because I'd like to
wait,
get
wait,
paid.
Wait, hang on, hang on, hang on. Remember how I said, oh, good Lord.
I'm going to go ahead. I want to be the first Kickstarter.
First backer. Well, you don't have to actually give us money now. You just have to pledge it.
Yeah. So here, I'm going to go ahead and pledge $1.
Oh, wow.
It's our first dollar. We need to get it framed.
Awesome. You can put it up on the lavender wall.
That is the dollar.
I just stuck it to the just licked it.
I did not lick it. That's
going to get a cocaine high.
So I kickstarted something.
That's you know another way to get things happening.
Thank you, Matthew.
You're so welcome.
He's going to take that back.
I should have done that 19 episodes.
I better take a picture of it now.
Yeah, I should have done that 19 episodes ago. Again. Wait, not again.
Here's the question.
Yes.
How long will it be before what we are calling the alternate distribution models surpass what are now the traditional models? How long before network television is the dinosaur?
I think 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Easily.
I'm with you there. I think
because
the big network television is going to be the dinosaur in 5 years.
That is correct. The only
unless
time
they find a way to evolve.
No, they won't.
Booksellers?
They won't.
No, they might. They're trying. They're doing more on-demand stuff, and they're recognizing that people are DVRing stuff, and they're finding ways to get...
Well, cable's on-demanding.
Yes, but the networks are moving toward that now. There was a big thing. CBS is looking to start doing that, too.
Well,
they realize that right now everybody's DVRing things and skipping past the commercials, and they don't want the DVR to become the go-to for getting their content when you want it. They're going to start doing, however they're going to do it, I'm not sure, but they're pushing toward trying to get things to be in an on-demand format where they can say, here, watch this. You don't get to fast forward, but you're only going to watch two commercials.
Well, that's the Hulu.
One at the beginning and one halfway through, and, you know,
that's
kind of
the
hit
Hulu
that,
model.
Get that that halfway point.
So they could, I mean, NBC could very easily create an NBC app that is built around the Hulu model of, you watch two commercials during the show. And since there's only two commercials during the show, they can charge a lot more for those commercials because they're getting focused attention. And people are a whole lot more willing to sit through two commercials than they do 40.
Yeah.
So if I'm watching something on the NBC app, which I never would because their programming is terrible.
Oh, NBC, NBC News. NBC defends ratings, calls The Walking Dead an anomaly.
Yeah.
No, NBC. The Walking Dead is a good show that took some chances and tried to do something a little different and didn't just run the same reality crap.
And I'm trying to see now. I don't think I watch anything on NBC.
No, I don't.
Do you watch anything on NBC? Do we watch anything on NBC that we share
in common?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But now what's interesting is that the rise in this alternate media is really a combination of two things. One, just technology as it's grown with the Wi-Fis and 3Gs and 4Gs and
face tubes,
which are awesome,
and U-books
and the Twittergrams and all that sort of stuff. So you've got the rise in the technology, but then you also have the, oh my Lord, the programming on mainstream media is awful.
Oh
my Lord, reality TV is quite possibly the dumbest thing ever done. It is just the dumbing down of society.
Well, I was going to say even discounting all the reality TV stuff, what's left
bad.
Over is garbage.
But the reality, it consumes so much of it. I mean, really, I actually saw a headline, and I read the headline and the first sentence and a half of this article, but it was about the mother of Honey Boo Boo has lost 95 pounds.
Well, good for her.
Since starting the show, and it's not due to a diet, it's due to moving around.
For the cameras?
Yes.
They had to film her in different parts of the house, so she had to walk.
She had to move.
So she's still sucking down Sketty by the gallon?
Yeah, she's still...
She had to...
Three bills.
Move!
Now, I will say, and this was interesting, I saw a promo for a Honey Boo Boo, and I love it when stereotypes actually fit perfectly, and it the camera panned over to some lanky looking dude in a wife beater stained t-shirt and a University of Georgia hat on, and I was like, there is a God, and it is right. It fits the stereotype.
Says Georgia Tech guy wearing a Georgia Tech shirt.
Disclaimer.
No, it's a different hat today. Okay. Yeah,
he does have a Georgia Tech hat though.
I have 32.
Nerdburger and Nerdburger Industries do not affiliate with any collegiate sports.
No.
The views expressed by our guests are our guests and our guests
alone. Yeah, so you need the disclaimer my wife has, and that is the views expressed by my husband are not necessarily those held by management.
Or by any subsidiaries.
Thereof.
Being your children, right?
Yeah. No, actually, they've subscribed to most of my philosophies because I've brainwashed them from the beginning.
So, I think that wraps up talking about the alternative stuff for a little while, right? Did we have something else, Matthew? You had a story or something. What have you been doing lately?
We've been traveling, and it's been great. It's been an awesome month. We've been all over the place. And so
summer vacay.
It was, and we did...
Yeah, I know. I work with Matthew, and he was only in the office like 6 days all month.
Yeah.
Well, he only works part-time to begin with.
Yeah.
He's only there part-time. But he was gone like every other week.
Oh, it was awesome. And so we did a 10-day Clark Griswold-style odyssey to...
Cue up the music.
Holiday Road. We did. Darren and I are singing that as we're backing out of the driveway. I called the kids Audrey and Russ most of the trip.
Awesome.
Midway through the trip, Daniel looks up and he goes, "So, Dad, when are we going to share a beer?" Like, 50 yards, Russ. Nothing to be proud
50,
of.
50 yards of beer?
No, because then that's how far the car went, but we only had 50 yards of beer. So
right.
we went to Dulles and saw the Air and Space Museum, which is absolutely the coolest thing in the world.
Cool.
It is. It beats the Air and Space on the Mall, the National Mall, by a long shot.
Geeking out over the...
Oh, my heavens. You walk in, and the first thing you see is an SR-71 Blackbird. Now, ooh. I don't know if you guys are aviation nuts. Aviation nerds?
I know what that is.
Oh, my goodness.
I know what airplanes are. Go ahead.
Do you know that over 4,000 missiles were fired at the SR-71?
And how many hit?
Not a scratch.
Yeah. What was that, Mach 3?
It would
how
fly
fast does that thing go?
A mile in 1.6 seconds.
That's how fast does it go?
I believe Mach 5 was the fastest.
What's Mach 5?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It on its final flight, it flew from the West Coast to the East Coast in 63 minutes.
Nice. Greg, you've seen this before. You just don't.
Minutes.
Yeah, sure.
It is.
If we showed you a picture, you would.
It was amazing. But anyway, so I geeked out and had a great time, and so we're doing the whole DC thing, and we did a lot of shopping at the little tourist traps and bought the overpriced mugs and stuff like that. But we were at this one trinket shop where I had a great jerk dad moment.
Jerk dad.
And it ties in with today being Friendship Day.
Excellent.
So I'm over there, and I see a string of friendship bracelets. And I say, "Hey, Daniel, come on over here. They've got some friendship." Oh, wait. You have to have a friend first.
Oh. Oh. My goodness.
That was awful.
It was awesome. And so my son just looks up at me and he goes, wow. Really?
And then he punched me in the...
Wow.
Really?
I mean, that's all he had. So, and we decided on the trip that Monday's jerk dad, Tuesday's bad influence dad, Wednesday is annoying dad, Thursday is irritating dad, Friday is satirical dad, Saturday and Sunday are potluck dad. I can kind of do whatever I want. And then the 32nd of every month is good dad.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, that's the SR-71. And it is just a beast. They have the Concorde in there.
Cool.
Behind the Blackbird is a space shuttle.
A real one?
Yeah, the Discovery.
Oh, okay.
The F-14 Tomcat, which is the coolest fighter plane ever made. You know, it could actually hold the AIM-54 Phoenix Fire and Forget missile, which was too heavy for most fighter planes to carry. And not only did it hold one, it held six. They could fire from 100 miles away and drop anybody. That's what it was called, Fire and Forget. They could shoot six planes out of the sky from 100 miles away.
Fire and Forget's a D&D term.
Well, it is. Yeah, you fire and forget.
You memorize the spells.
Aerospace nerdery meet D&D nerdery.
It was great. But the F-14 is relegated to the back corner of this thing.
Well, that's because it's cool. It doesn't need to. It can just kind of hang around in the back and lean up against the wall and be cool. Doesn't need to be out front.
Leather jacket.
Yes, the Enola Gay is there. It was every time you walk around, there was one really cool thing that by itself was worth a museum.
So it was sensory overload.
It was nuts.
Holy crap! Look over there! Oh my god! Look over there! Oh my god! Look over there! Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. It'd be like at Comic-Con.
Sure. When it was Comic-Con. Well, I suppose now, it's if you're into the movies and things, it's like, oh my god, it's that movie, and oh my god, it's that TV show, and it's that star, and it's that director. And
look, it's somebody else from Star Trek, and another person from Star Trek.
Although we're losing the ones from the original Star Trek, there's been deaths lately from some of the supporting people.
Yeah, the original Klingon died.
Yeah, the original Kang.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
I heard the new Spock is going to do a couple cameos on Big Bang Theory.
Really? As himself? Zachary?
Yeah. Because Sheldon got all torqued because he got the life size.
He got the wrong Mr. Spock standee.
Yeah. So now they're going to bring him in to count on that. So that should be a lot of fun.
All righty.
So no, we had a really good time, and it was a lot of jerk dad moments, but that was one of my more favorites. Now, I will say Daniel did have some zingers back because it's definitely a two-way street. Yeah. In our house, but
we didn't pre-record a jerk kid.
No,
so sorry.
I can't call him a jerk kid because he's just he's just fighting back. I'm the instigator.
He's down there just.
Yes, he's just fighting
just
for survival.
Flailing wildly.
He's fighting for survival,
but with words,
and he's very poignant too.
Sounds like someday he will usurp his father.
Oh, and that will be very very near time. Yeah, he's good.
All right, Matthew, thank you for coming on the show again.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Hey. Thank you for the brownies.
Anytime.
Yummy. I've been munching on them as we've been talking. There's big stretches where I wasn't talking. I was eating brownie.
Mm-hmm. I've somehow miraculously managed to save half.
Wow.
For management.
You fool.
You know, you bring them a half brownie, the next time they expect a full brownie.
There's a dirty joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that mean something?
No, it means that if you bring her half a brownie, next time she's going to ask for a full brownie. There's no hidden meaning, hidden agenda.
All right.
Where can they find us, Mike?
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitters, NerdBurgerShow on Facebook, and email us, NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com.
We got a third iTunes review. Two more and we can actually...
We have another one.
Yeah, two more and we get an average rating.
Sweet. Have we identified the third reviewer?
Yes.
Okay. Is it somebody you know?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to tell us who it is?
No.
Okay.
Who? On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike and Craig embrace the new media download technology and dump 13 episodes on you all at once. Let's get recording.
Take that, audience.
Each episode will be about 5 minutes long, and they'll all be strung together.
Bye.
Jerk Dad!